Chapter 32. Forgiveness and Eternal Refuge. The night pulled a dark shawl over the woods and the meadows. The night lit up dismal little lights somewhere far below. Alien lights that were no longer of any use or consequence to Margarita or the Master. The night overtook the cavalcade, raining white specks of stars on the mournful sky above. Few would have now recognized Korofiov Fagot, self-appointed interpreter for a mysterious consultant who needed none, in the man who was riding directly beside Volant on Margarita's right. In place of the one who left Sparrow Hills in tattered clown's garb, bearing the name of Korofiov Fagot, a knight in dark violet armour now rode silently, the gold chain of his bridle clinking softly, his face eternally grim and unsmiling. He rested his chin on his chest and was immersed in thought, gazing neither at the moon above nor at the ground below as he flew next to Volant. "Why has he changed so?" Margarita asked quietly of Volant as the wind whistled by.
"This knight once made an ill-timed joke," Volant replied. "The pun he made in a conversation about light and darkness was rather unfortunate. As a result, the knight had to spend slightly more time as a joker than he bargained for. But tonight is one of those times when accounts are settled. The knight has paid his dues and closed his account."
The knight stripped off Behemoth's bushy tail and fur, scattering it in clumps over the swamps. He, who used to be a cat entertaining the Prince of Darkness, turned out to be a slim young man, a demon page, the best jester the world had ever seen. He, too, was quiet now as he flew noiselessly through the air, the moonlight washing over his young face. Azazello was flying to the side of everyone else in glittering steel armour. The moon had changed his face as well. The ugly, awkward fang disappeared, and the wall eye turned out to be false. Both his eyes were now alike, empty and black, his face cold and white. Azazello flew on in his true form as the demon of the waterless desert, the killer demon. Margarita could not see herself, but she could clearly see the master change. His hair turned white in the moonlight, flowing in the wind. Just like the young demon page, the master rode without taking his eyes off the moon. He smiled at it, like at a dear old friend, and muttered to himself, from a habit acquired in room number 118. And finally, Volant, too, flew in his true appearance. Margarita could not say what his bridle was made of. To her it looked like a string of moonlight, the horse itself a lump of darkness, its mane a storm cloud, the rider's spurs white stars. Volant reined in his horse on a joyless stone plateau, and the riders moved on at a walk, listening to the flints and rocks crunch under the horses' feet. The moon flooded the ground with bright green light. Further ahead, in the deserted surroundings, Margarita soon noticed a chair and the white shape of a man sitting in it. Now she could also make out an enormous, dark, sharp-eared dog lying at the foot of the heavy stone chair that sparkled in the moonlight. Like his master, the dog was staring anxiously at the moon. The riders stopped their horses.
"Your novel has been read,"
Volant spoke, turning to the master,
"with the only comment being that, unfortunately, it is not finished. And so, I wanted to show you your hero. For around 2,000 years he has sat on this platform and slept, but every full moon he suffers from insomnia. It afflicts both him and his faithful guardian, the dog. When he is asleep, he dreams of one thing alone, a path made of moonlight. He wants to walk on it and talk to the prisoner Hanotsri. He insists that he was not able to finish his conversation with him on that day long ago, the 14th day of the spring month of Nisan. But alas, he cannot walk on that road for some reason, and no one ever comes. He despises his own immortality and his unbelievable fame. He says he would gladly trade his life for that of the tattered vagrant Matthew Levi.
"Let him go!" Margarita suddenly cried in a piercing voice. Volant was laughing as he looked at Margarita and then said,
"You need not plead for him, Margarita, for the one he so wishes to talk to already has."
Volant turned to the master and said,
"Well then, you may conclude your novel with a single phrase."
The master seemed to be waiting for this. He cupped his hands to his mouth and shouted, sending an echo scattering over the deserted, treeless slopes.
"You are free! He awaits you!"
The long-awaited path, made of moonlight, came down into the garden, and the sharp-eared dog was the first to run along it. The man in the white cape with blood-red lining rose from his chair and shouted something in a hoarse, torn voice. It was impossible to make out what he was saying. They could only see him run speedily up the shining path after his faithful guardian. Volant turned to Margarita.
"Margarita Nikolaevna, I fully believe that you tried to think up the best future for the master. But truly, the future I offer you, the future Yeshua has requested for you, is far better."
Volant pointed behind him.
"What will you do in that basement? Would you not rather take long walks in a blooming cherry tree alley with your friend and listen to Schubert in the evenings? Would you not rather write by candlelight with a quill pen? That is your destination there. A house awaits you, with an aging servant. The candles are already lit. Take this path, master. And farewell. I must go."
"Farewell!" the master and Margarita cried together. Heeding no road, the black Volant dashed into the rocky abyss, and his entourage came crashing down after him. The black horses vanished as well. In the first rays of morning light, the master and his companion crossed a mossy stone bridge and headed down a sandy path. "Listen to the silence," Margarita said to the master. "Look at your eternal home up ahead, your reward. You will fall asleep with a smile on your face. Your sleep will strengthen you and inspire you to wise thoughts. And you won't be able to chase me away anymore. It is I who will guard your sleep." Thus spoke Margarita as they approached their eternal home, and the master's troubled memories began to fade. Someone was setting him free, just as he himself had just released his hero. This hero vanished into the void, vanished forever, forgiven on a Sunday night. The son of an astrologer king, the cruel fifth procurator of Judea, the knight Pontius Pilate.